Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, June 19th. Good morning and welcome to the final hour of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Romuald the Abbot and Juneteenth as well. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America, wherever you may be listening to Relevant Radio on this Monday morning. It's always a joy and a privilege to be with you to start your week. Now, to all the dads out there, I hope you had a great Father's Day weekend with your family and loved ones. I can tell you that this reporter celebrated the weekend and Father's Day by being a baseball dad, watching my son Joseph Dominic and his travel team win a game yesterday on Father's Day. It was a great thrill for this dad. What a blessing indeed it was. Now, today is Juneteenth, the oldest known celebration marking the end of slavery in the U.S., first recognized by the state of Texas and signed into law by President Biden in 2021. It's also known as Freedom Day, Juneteenth Independence Day, or Emancipation Day. Juneteenth is a federal holiday, and most banks will be closed today. Want to bring in our Morning Air team once again, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories that are making headlines this hour here on this Monday morning?
Well, in terms of stories about international relations, so often it's the sad news of war. Some moves toward peace, hopefully, as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with Xi Jinping, the leader of China. It's a part of a two-day visit there, trying to possibly pave the way for a visit from President Biden, getting together with Xi Jinping possibly in November. And the U.S., of course, and China been at odds over trade in Taiwan, and that all on the negative side seems to have heated up, especially in the last year, with China watching closely how it's gone for Russia trying to take over Ukraine, and what thoughts they might have about Taiwan kind of underlying what's going on between the U.S. and China with trade and other things, too.
So this meeting with the Chinese president, it's important because obviously there's been tensions in recent months, especially with the spy balloon that flew over our country. So we want to see the two largest economies, the two superpowers of the world, peacefully talk about things.
Yeah, absolutely. Always necessary to keep talking. Matter of fact, they're meeting in the same building that President Nixon had his historic visit with Chinese leaders back in the early 70s. And that was a big step in international relations with China, who's come a long, long way economically since then.
Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on how the rest of the trip for Secretary Blinken goes. Meanwhile, in case you missed it, a lot happening outside of Dodger Stadium last Friday night, Glenn.
Yeah, a little bit of a baseball game in Southern California. Dodgers hosted the Giants over the weekend and hosted a whole lot of trouble based on helping to give an award to an anti-Catholic group. That happened before the game, before a lot of folks had filed in. And reports are there were several boos from the small crowd that was there before the game for that ceremony. Outside, though, a very large crowd celebrating a lot about Catholic faith, John.
Indeed. There was what was described as a massive crowd that was praying, and they processed with a relic of Pope St. John Paul II outside of Dodger Stadium. In the end, I think they made a very, very strong statement. And I think the reality that there were very few people actually in the stands to witness the so-called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence be honored. And I think that was a good sign. And then on top of it, the Dodgers struggled on the field all weekend long.
Well, they certainly did, having lost several games in a row right now. The loss to the Giants 7-5 on Friday night, and then an historic shellacking 15-0 on Saturday.
Oh, that's a great word, shellacking. Yeah, in fact, I understand it was the worst defeat in Dodger history at home since 1898 when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. So, Yeah, I think the management of the Dodger organization has to start listening to people of faith, especially Catholics that were offended in L.A. and around the country.
Yeah, I mean, baseball has a lot of faith-filled fans, and, you know, it's not wise to mess with your customer base generally in business as well. But also fans of baseball hoping things just continue to focus back on the field, and I'm sure that could help the Dodgers too.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, there was a big golf tournament, one of the four majors in Los Angeles at the L.A. Country Club yesterday, and Wyndham Clark won the U.S. Open by one shot in his first career major victory. And so kudos to Wyndham Clark. This is a guy that was ranked 293rd in the world just a year ago and had never finished better than 75th in a major, but he held off Rory McIlroy, the world's number one golfer, to win it in dramatic fashion. So that is exciting for all the golf fans out there, Glenn.
Oh, absolutely. It was kind of drowned out by some conversation, but on in the background at a Father's Day gathering I was at yesterday. But I always love what we Americans do to see those underdog stories, and looking for the next Tiger Woods to kind of pop up and take over golf. Hey, meanwhile, back to baseball, just briefly, as a baseball dad, you're all over this, John.
Oh, no question about it. Keeping an eye on the College World Series in Omaha. My wife is from Omaha, so we really do appreciate it. It's a beautiful ballpark. And yesterday, Texas Christian University, TCU, they hung on for a 4-3 win, eliminated highly favored Virginia Cavaliers from the College World Series. That was in the afternoon game. Florida beat Oral Roberts 5-4 in the nightcap. And so TCU will take on Oral Roberts in an elimination game on Tuesday. So a lot's happening on the college baseball front, and we're getting a preview of many future major leaguers and top prospects with the draft in Major League Baseball just a couple of weeks away.
You know, John, just a week ago, is attending a minor league baseball game in St. Cloud, Minnesota, ended up sitting next to the father of a pitcher who came in and threw a couple of innings of relief, one, 2-3 inning, and really had struggles the following inning. But he had just come from the Junior College World Series, which was held in Colorado the week before, and it was kind of interesting to sit next to a baseball dad. Here's a guy who's like 21 years old. He's looking to get into a, you know, four-year college program next year. This league uses college players during the summer. He's already, at the young age of 21, gone through Tommy John surgery and come out the other side. The Minnesota Twins surgeon actually worked on his arm, as he was from Minnesota originally. And kind of interesting to, you know, sit next to those sports parents as the level of play increases all along, John.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because yesterday during the broadcast, they were pointing out, you know, the baseball moms and the baseball dads that were on hand there in Omaha for the College World Series. And many of those parents, in fact, probably the vast majority of them, have been following their kids who are now in college since they were little tiny tots playing, you know, in 6 and 7U travel baseball. And so, kudos to all of the baseball dads and baseball moms.
I love it's that you're saying that the tiny tots are 6 or 7. I just when I think of tots, I think of someone who's 2 or 3. So I know when your kid ages, you're still those little kids, but yeah, they're still little. I always find it's funny too when kids say, "Oh, when I was little," and they're like 5. You're like, "What was that? When were you little? You're still little." Their perspective changes as time goes on, for sure.
I still get such a kick out of seeing the little ones. You know, the 6 and 7 year olds play baseball. The little guys in their little uniforms, they're so cute. You know, you appreciate it when your guy grows up. My guy is like the size of a college player these days, and he's only finishing up his freshman year, so they grow up really fast.
Yeah, and they do look cute in that little uniform. Whether they're good or not, man, do they make – that's a great picture.
For sure. As always, thanks, Sarah and Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
First things first, we always start each hour always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And traditionally on Mondays, we take a moment to pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and our loved ones. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, the patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show, and you can shoot us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, this morning, we're going to start a mini summer series with Father Burkmasters about the Ten Commandments. Do you know all of the commandments by heart? We're going to talk about them and try to better understand the two first commandments here this morning. And every Monday, we're going to take on a couple of the commandments according to the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Joining us live this morning for much more on the commandments is our spiritual director, Father Burkmasters, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is great to be with you.
Thanks, John. Great to be with you, too. And, you know, I love, of course, hearing the talk of baseball and the College World Series. And I was fortunate enough to play in the College World Series in 1990. So hard to believe it's 33 years ago, but great memories and so much fun to see college baseball or any kind of college athletics, the passion and the desire. It's fun to watch.
You came out of Mississippi State, Father, a state that's produced some big names that went on to play in Major League Baseball. So you got quite a perspective. Do you think that the game has changed at the college level today here, you know, all these years later?
It has. It seems like younger guys are throwing much harder these days. You see guys throwing in the mid-90s on a regular basis in college, and you think, wow, that either that wasn't the case, or I have heard too that the pitching guns measure the ball out of the hand today rather than when it's crossed to the plate, so it might appear to be a little bit faster, but guys seem to be a little bit bigger and stronger today as well. As you're talking about the size of your son, must be feeding them well and good regimen of workouts.
Oh, my. Yeah, there's some big boys, really strong guys. Some guy hit a ball 459 feet this weekend in the College World Series.
Wow. And it's such an opportunity for these young men because the Major League Baseball draft is approaching, and it's a way for them to showcase their talents. Because I'm sure every one of those young men have dreams, as I did, to play in the Major League. So it's you know, when I was playing, they would show, you know, the College World Series on TV, but now they show games throughout the year and the regionals, and so they get a lot of opportunities to showcase their talents, especially in the World Series here.
Before I forget, last week we had our friend Mike Sweeney here on the show on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then, of course, he mentioned his little baby named after you, Father.
Yeah, what an honor when Mike and Shara had their sixth-child little Ryan Burke. They, you know, he's named after his Shara's brother Ryan and myself, and you know, I don't have biological children, of course, as a priest, but to have someone named after me is quite an honor, and I take that role of being a godfather very seriously to help Mike and Shara. Of course, they're amazing Catholic Christian parents, but to help them raise this young man in the faith is such a gift.
Well, Father Burke, I want to switch gears here and talk about the Ten Commandments, something that we're going to be talking about here for the following weeks. Most of us know about the commandments, but they don't really have a more in-depth understanding or have actually studied them. Why do you think it's important that we should really learn the Ten Commandments a little bit better?
Yeah, so the Ten Commandments are like the basis of our moral teaching, you know. And the reason why it's so important to know these is, like I say, it's the foundation of how to love. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? You know, they were trying to trap him and, you know, saying one was greater than the other. And he summarized the Ten Commandments. He didn't say, I came to abolish the commandments. He said, I came to fulfill them. And so he says, you know, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. It's the greatest commandment. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And if we look at the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments are all about loving God. And the next seven commandments are all about loving our neighbor. And I recommend people to use these commandments as one of the, you know, foundations for preparing to go to confession, because the catechism teaches, because these come right from God and they establish the kind of moral framework, that when we willingly and knowingly go against one of these commandments, it's a grave sin, and it's something that we should take to confession. I know many people may see our faith as just a bunch of rules. I always say our faith is about a relationship with a God who loves us and is deserving of our love. And when we love someone, we want to keep those commandments. You know, like, for example, if you're married, you know, one of the quote laws you have is to stay faithful to that spouse. But when I love somebody, I want to be faithful to him or her, right? I want to love her as my bride. And so a quick personal story that helped me understand the commandments. When I was little, my mom, you were talking earlier about when I was little, my mom loved to entertain. And so she would have her girlfriends over on Saturday morning and they would have coffee in the living room and talk. And one of the commandments we had was don't touch the coffee pot. She had this, one of those big 5-gallon stainless steel coffee pots in the kitchen. And I wanted to help. And so this Saturday morning, they're in the living room. And so I go into the kitchen and my eye level was about the level of the counter where the coffee pot was. I grabbed a coffee cup and I started to pull the spigot on the coffee pot. And what I did was I pulled the front two legs of the coffee pot off of the counter. And all of this boiling coffee comes down on top of me and I'm screaming. And fortunately, my mom acted quickly and prevented me from serious burns. But I learned an important lesson that day is that, you know, because my mom loved me, she gave me that commandment to say, don't touch the coffee pot. And so I decided that I would, and I got burned. And so the commandments are given to us by God as ways of loving us to say, if you stay within these boundaries, I can protect you. I love you. But when we use our free will to go outside the commandments and do what we want to do, then we're going to get burned. It's not God condemning us. We're hurting ourselves when we go against God's ways.
What a wonderful story. And thank goodness you were okay as a little guy at the time. But it does really teach us a lesson. We want to go through what the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches. There's so much good stuff in there, and I wanted to start out with that, with the first commandment. Father, what is implied in the affirmation of God? I am the Lord your God.
And we shall worship him alone. So St. Thomas Aquinas says that there's four substitutes for God. You know, he says honor, power, pleasure, and wealth. And you know, when God is saying, I am the Lord your God, worship me alone, you know, we need to question ourselves, is God really the center of my life? Or do I find myself chasing after the honor of this world, wanting people to like me? Am I chasing after power, wanting to, you know, climb the ladder and to lord this power over others? Do I seek pleasure above all? You know, do I find myself chasing after things that give me bodily pleasure wealth? You know, do I find myself making my money and my possessions the center of my life? So these are, I find St. Thomas Aquinas' four substitutes is a good reflection on is God really the center of my life, or is it one of these, have I made one of these substitutes for God the center of my life?
What about God prohibits by the command, you shall not have other gods before me?
Yeah, and so that goes to that point of I always ask myself, where do I spend my time, my energy, and my money? And that usually shows me what's most important in my life. And if I'm not spending my time and energy moving myself toward God, who should be the center of my life, then I'm worshiping someone or something else. That person or thing becomes an idol to me. And even in the best of marriages, so those of you who are married, I always tell couples who are preparing for marriage, your future spouse cannot fulfill your deepest needs. And if you expect them to, you're making them an idol and you're putting too much pressure on them. But if each of you make God the center of your life, then you're going to grow closer to God and you're going to grow closer to one another. And that's true in any relationship. Am I expecting this other person to fulfill my deepest desires? Because that's where God says, God created us with this, we call it, you know, a God-shaped void in our hearts that only he can fill. And he knows that. And that's why he's saying, I must be your God. Make me the center of your life. And all other things will fall into place. But as soon as we place something or someone in that central place in our lives, things are out of order. So, you know, ask yourself, where do I spend my time, my energy, my money? That usually shows us where our God is.
In the Catechism, it asks the question, does the commandment of God, you shall not make for yourself a graven image, from Exodus 23, does that forbid the cult of images?
No. I like to use analogies. And this can be a problem. If we're worshiping an image, that is problematic, you know. But what images are meant to do are to raise our minds and hearts to God and to the saints that they represent. For example, I always ask people who may bring this against this, like, did you have a picture of your family at home? Of course I do. Does that mean you worship your family? Well, no. It reminds me of these, you know, loves of my life, and they're just representing my family. And I said, exactly. That's what a crucifix might do, or an image of Mary. We're not worshiping the image, but they are reminders to call us to say, oh yeah, I need to focus my attention on God, or Mary's role always leading us closer to her son, Jesus.
And of course, this is something that is often misunderstood by evangelicals and our Protestant brothers and sisters. And yet, even at Christmas time, you might even see a nativity scene outside of a Protestant church.
Right. Yeah, and you know, so I think people mistake it, and I want to encourage Catholics to make sure that we're not, you know, worshiping these images, but they're images like the creche, the nativity scenes. They're a reminder of, wow, one of the greatest mysteries of all time, when God became man in Bethlehem, when God, you know, was born into this world. It's a reminder to lift our minds and hearts to prayer. And that's what images are meant to do, whether they're icons or statues or whatever they are. We're not worshiping the statue or the icon, but they lift our hearts to God. Just as anything that's beautiful, we go to an art museum because somebody's piece of art raises our minds and hearts to God. That's what images are meant to do as well. And when you walk into a beautiful church, that's what it does. It's like, wow, this is a beautiful creation, and my heart and mind are lifted to God.
Father, we have time to briefly talk about the second commandment. And again, the Catechism asks the question, how does one respect the holiness of the name of God?
Yeah, so you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So to ask ourselves the question, do I use God's name loosely? You know, sometimes we think it's just in cursing that this commandment is calling us to go against, but it's any careless use of the name of God. You know, in ancient times, they wouldn't even mention the name of God because it was so holy. And so I want to encourage us as we're going through our day to pay attention to that, to only use God's name when we, you know, want to, you know, point to the God of the universe who created us, and to do it in a way that is always, always reverent. You might notice at Mass and other times that we're the priest, whenever we mention the name of Jesus, we bow our heads, because it's a sign of like that reverence for the name of God. And so maybe to start practicing that, to think about, because it really calls to mind how we use our words, and our words are powerful. So let us not get slack in dishonoring God by using his name in vain.
And the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend. And that's why, you know, we genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the true presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's great power in that holy name of Jesus.
It is. And, you know, that genuflection, the bowing of the head, it reminds us of who we are. I always remember one of our great spiritual directors that was at Mundelein Seminary, Father Hennessy. He said a great spiritual practice is to, you know, walk outside on a beautiful night and look up and say, "You are God and I am not. You are God and I am not." Again, it's who or what is at the center of my life. And if I make myself the center of my life, then I'm making myself an idol. But the more we genuflect, the more we bow our heads, the more we reverence the name of God, we start to realize, boy, I must decrease and he must increase. We grow in that virtue of humility, which all of the great saints, the great spiritual writers will say, humility is the most important virtue that will lead us to the ability to love and to serve one another.
Father Burke, we just skimmed the surface here, talking about the first two commandments. Obviously, if our listeners want much more, they can go to the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. There's just a fantastic teaching in that compendium. Father Burke, as always, a joy to be with you. Thanks so much for your teachings and spiritual perspective.
You're welcome. God bless you and all your listeners.
Many blessings to you as well. Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back on the other side, Catholic speaker, faith coach, and author Kendra Von Esch will continue her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. Today, we're going to discuss what's your identity. So stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Try to get me, gonna praise the Lord. When the devil come try to get me, gonna praise the Lord.
If you are in the market for health insurance, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales,
Sarah Tafoya,
and Glenn Leverts.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Today is the perfect day in every single way. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I love it. Welcome back to Morning Air on this federal holiday of Juneteenth and the memorial of St. Romuald the Abbot. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Monday morning. You can find us on social media, on Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And as always, if you want to send us an email directly, if you have anything on your mind, any thoughts, any story ideas, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Jesus the Lord says, "Stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you." These verses are a reminder from our blessed Lord that we must not judge others' motives or their character, because only God knows a man's heart. We can make judgments about actions, but we cannot judge one's heart. We always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. At the beginning of this month of June, we started the Soul, Mind, and Body Summer Series, Conquer Addictions and Bad Habits with Kendra Von Esch. We've talked about what are addictions and 10 signs that we may have one, and the three-legged stool of life, which we discussed last week, the importance of keeping the soul, mind, and body in balance. Joining us live once again from the Chicago area is Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch to discuss what is your identity. Perfect timing, because earlier in the show we talked about the current identity crisis that is happening across our nation during this Pride Month. Kendra's a speaker, faith coach, podcaster who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey as well. Kendra is also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you once again on another Monday morning to continue your summer series.
I love spending my mornings with you, you and the listeners. It's really fun. Thanks for having me, John.
Absolutely. Well, in case somebody wasn't around last week and they may have missed our conversation, last show we talked about the three-legged stool of life. Can you give us just a real quick thumbnail of what we chatted about?
Yes, and it's okay if you're out there saying, uh-oh, one of these stools is kind of wobbly or maybe even non-existent. It goes to the soul, the mind, and the body. So what does it mean to have a pretty perfect soul? That means you have a non-negotiable prayer life. You have a sacramental, reverent relationship with the Holy Trinity. You have spiritual discernment. You can tell what's going on, who's speaking to you, who might be attacking you. You are in the spiritual battle. You know how to fight. You are a servant leader, and you're out there being a disciple and making disciples. I don't know about you, but my soul-legged stool part, the one leg of soul, I always need to work on that one. Mind, constant learning like a child. I used to say when I graduated from college, you would have to pay me to go back to school because I just didn't like learning. But now God has this, like, living in the present moment and learning as much as I possibly can, not just about God and the Catholic Church, but about how I can live more holy on this earth and how I can love others as I love myself. Okay, again, discerning God's voice, because we have to pay attention. If we're using our mind, we're actively participating in the 24-hour journey today, and we are managing our body. Anyone out there have struggles with that like me? And we're doing an examination of conscience at least once a day. Okay, now let's go to the body. How many of us have the body as the mind? It actually overrules our thinking, and that is not good. So we need to have our body in control, fighting bodily urges. We also need to treat our body as a gift from God and the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to take care of it spiritually, nutritionally, physically, and constantly nurture that relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I know that's a lot to balance, but when we don't have the soul, the mind, or the body in play, we're going to have a not very peaceful day. It's going to be filled with some vicious thoughts and behaviors, and we're going to have that peace shaken, and we all don't want that.
Today, we're going to talk about what is your identity. Can you explain to us what do you mean by our identity?
Well, you know, it was great. We just heard Father Burke on the other segment right before this. We are children of God. I mean, he was talking out of the Catechism, and paragraph 221 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, God himself is an external change of is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has destined us to share in that exchange. I totally butchered that. Sorry, everyone. But the bottom line is, we're baptized into God's family. We become his adopted children. And we're to exchange in this love with the Father. So our relationship with the Father, we are his child. The Son, we are brothers and sisters with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we ought to act a little different in this world. You say crisis of, you know, faith and identity of who we are. It's because we're afraid. And boy, how many times do we hear in the Bible, do not be afraid? 365. We definitely have to put on the identity as children of God and walk in this world differently. It's we can't be afraid anymore to be loving, kind, to show our faith, to call out sin, to live differently, not to do what everybody else is doing because the culture says it's okay. You know, I mean, it's a tough one to live the identity of God. What do you think?
No question. In this day and age, we're being bombarded with just the opposite message. When you think about identity, you're not thinking about that identity as children of God. And yet we are, as our faith teaches. Can you talk about, the challenges of living this identity as children of God, especially in today's culture, right here in our own country?
Right. So I didn't realize in the beginning of my journey, and some of you may be there, where you're just so excited because you know God. You've been given the gift of faith. You speak about it because it's changing you, but yet your actions, you haven't conformed to Jesus. You don't realize at this point that, wait a minute, I'm actually supposed to change what I'm doing. And when I was on my journey and I realized that, I was overwhelmed because I had to change everything from my words to my thoughts and my deeds. And so give yourself a little bit of love, a little bit of patience as you go through trying to be more holy, little h. We're all out there. People are watching us. For example, I was at a friend's house. I'm about a year into my journey, and I am telling the most raunchiest jokes, John. It was embarrassing looking back. And she says to me, oh my gosh, you profess to be this like Catholic Christian, and yet listen to you. It pushed me over. At that moment, I realized, what am I doing? Why do I think I need to still be this way? Lord, help me. And so all the way home for 2 hours, my husband was like, what's going on with you? And I said, what Molly said, my dear friend, God speaks through our friends too, was like cutting through to my heart. So that's what I want all of us to remember, is we are in a relationship with God, hopefully, if we're having that soul in balance, and we want him to help us pour grace into us so that we can change, so that when people see us, they see that we've got Jesus wrapped around us. And it's not just our selfish, worldly selves out there that don't make a difference like anybody else in the culture today.
No question about it. We're all a work in progress, body, mind, and spirit, and we all need to walk the talk. We need to be able to actually live out what we believe. I want to bring in our listeners, if you want to be part of our conversation, and share maybe sometimes when you've lived your identity as a child of God, or when you haven't, or if you have any question of how to live your identity or a specific situation. We're taking your calls for Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Kendra. Stay with us. There's more on the other side. If you have real estate or land you no longer need, consider the advantages of donating it to Relevant Radio. The process is easy and the tax advantages can be huge. Learn more at relevantradio.com/property.
But I see your true colors shine.
888-914-9149 is our number. 888-914-9149. We're talking about our identity as children of God. What is your identity is the topic that we're discussing this morning with Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch. She's a speaker, podcaster, vlogger, author, and faith coach as we continue her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. Kendra, wanted to chat with you about actually putting into practice you know, our faith and sharing and becoming, you know, true disciples of God.
You know, in the beginning of my journey, I always heard people talk about glorifying God. And I was like, I have no idea what that means. I don't know. So I learned that the more that we glorify God through the way that we speak, the way that we think, the way that we act, we are giving credit where credit is due. And we're evangelizing, whether we know it or not. So let's say my marijuana addiction that we talk about, by the way, that was a beautiful gift from God. I was going through a consecration to Jesus through Mary, 33 days of morning glory. Father Michael Gately, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who have gone through that. It was my very first time. And on Our Lady of Guadalupe's feast day, Mary took me to Jesus and said, "Will you heal this poor thing?" She's been struggling with this marijuana thing for 20 plus years. And it happened. So that was the first time that I didn't want it. I didn't need it. And I ran around like a crazy person to anyone that knew that I was smoking that I didn't want it anymore. And I pointed to Mary and Jesus. I said, it must have been that 33-day thing that I did, a consecration to Mary through Jesus, something or other. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I'm glorifying God by telling everyone that he healed me. Jesus healed me. Mary took me to him. I can't explain it, everyone. You all know that I've been battling this. So that's all we have to do, because when we give credit where credit is due, because it's not us, it's God's grace, and it's God's working in our lives, then they can look at us and say, whoa, I want some of that. It's this mirror neuron thing that we'll talk about in a few more weeks. But when people witness us, when we do better, they do better. And when we give God all the credit, then they need that help, or they're seeking that help, especially when we do not have our peace rocked when situations happen to us. And they look at us differently because they're like, wait a minute, shouldn't you be losing your mind right now? And you say, no, I'm giving this to God. I know God will take this. It's a beautiful walk.
And as you said, we glorify God in many different ways in whatever we do. And when we're sharing the gospel, when we're sharing the good news with others, either by our example or actually, you know, sharing based on our experience, we are glorifying God.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And we're fulfilling our mission to be disciples and make disciples. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, share the gospel. I remember when I heard that was my mission, and I'm like, well, how in the heck do I do that? You know, I don't even really know the Bible. So it's really, first and foremost, how you live. But secondly, it's really how you love. We always forget about how we love, especially with those people that are in our lives every single day, the ones we take for granted. And that's where we have to remind ourselves, wait, this is where the true discipleship happens. I don't know about you, but I'm in a house where I'm the only practicing Catholic. There may be a lot of people out there who have people in their family that are not practicing. So they're not blessed to have this spiritual, you know, presence within their home, if that's them practicing and speaking about God. So a lot of us have that mission, and we don't exactly know how to speak it. That's why if we focus on our soul, which means we need to learn, we bring in our mind, and when we pray, according to the catechism, we should do it with our soul, mind, body, spirit, when we bring everything together and we pray and we learn to love and know God, we can rest on His word. I don't say something to someone and call out their sin. It's not me. I always say, God said this. So when there's blowback, they're not mad at me. I just go back to the Bible. Like, this isn't me saying it, it's God saying it. So that's another way that we can actually speak up, be, you know, courageous, but also loving and fall back on God's word, which is what it's there for.
Kendra, I remember a while back, a deacon after Mass gave me a little holy card, and it had this beautiful meditation about how we are the gospel for some people. We may be the only gospel they'll ever meet. They'll never read about it. They'll never open up a Bible, but they will be experiencing the gospel by meeting us.
Amen. That's what we should always remember, no matter where we're at. Whether it's someone that we know or someone that we don't know. Could be someone at the grocery store who sees us smile and we say, have a blessed day, and all of a sudden they have a little bit of the spirit moving within them. It really does matter how we act, what we think, what we say, and God will help us. As long as we continue to go to Him and ask Him every single day, I call it the 24-hour journey for a reason. Because if we're not living in this present moment, in this day, we're missing out on God's messages. We're missing out on God's beauty. I mean, I have had a weekend filled with baby woodpeckers and little baby bunnies. And if I wasn't paying attention and outside in His good, beautiful green earth, I would not be seeing these things and not feel so much like a bigger part of God's life. I mean, it's not just us getting up, going to work, making money, doing things, checking the boxes of our to-do lists. It's chilling out. It's loving God's creation. It's being in awe at all that He created. So let's slow down. Let's live in the present today. And let's really connect with God through everything that we consume, through our eyes, through our ears, and our mouths. We all know that nutrition is important. So keep that on the top of your list as well.
Kendra, final moment, final minute. How can our listeners find out more about your Soul, Mind, and Body series?
Oh, awesome. So go to my YouTube channel. I am doing videos all week, and we are going to be doing more on prayer. So you will learn how to do mental prayer. I'll actually do a couple of guided meditations. Or you can also go to my website, kendravonash.com. If you're looking to bring a soul, mind, and body thing to your parish or host something, we can talk about that too. It's always great to walk with many, many people. And a lot of people are coming over from Relevant Radio. They're all saying, I heard you on John's show in the morning. So thank you to everyone. I'm really enjoying this.
Well, Kendra, I really appreciate you being with us with your summer series, Conquering Addictions and Bad Habits. Much more to come next week. Thanks again for being with us.
God bless you all. Have a great week.
Many blessings to you. Kendra Von Esch, faith coach, speaker, podcaster, and author here on Morning Air. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Some lingering thoughts after Father's Day. Here are a story today by Michael Smith. It's called Kneading the Bread. Last Christmas, Ginny gave me something I've always wanted, a bread maker. It takes 10 minutes to put the ingredients into the machine and turn it on. 4 hours later, I have a wonderful loaf of bread. Now, as much as I love my new machine, when I have time, I like to make bread the old way. The dough is squeezing through my fingers is somehow comforting. At first, it's a bit messy, but after it's risen the first time, I knead it again. This time, the dough is soft and smooth. I get lost in thought as I turn the dough over and over. The repetitive motion is relaxing, almost hypnotizing. I let the dough rise again, pop it in the oven, and soon the house is full of its heavenly aroma. When it's done, I wait for it to cool enough to cut that first delicious slice. As I wait, I admire it. It's a work of art, shaped and molded with time and experience. I looked the other day at my son and realized raising children is a lot like making a loaf of bread. At first, they're tiny and helpless and even messy. All the ingredients are there to create a fine human being, but we have to knead, mold, and shape them until they rise to define adults. Most children reach a stage, usually in their mid to late teens, where they resist the needing. They think they no longer need our guidance or advice and believe that they're ready to take on the world. Just like the first rising of the dough, we have to let them be for a bit. We need to give them space to grow and learn on their own. Somewhere in their 20s, they change again and once more seek our advice. It's time for the second kneading. This time, however, like the dough, they're softer and ready to be kneaded and molded. They accept the fact that we do indeed know what we're doing and allow us to shape them the final time. My son is not ready for his second kneading, but the time will come. When it does, I'll take time to knead and mold him the final time. Afterward, I'll be able to look at him and say to myself, he's a work of art, created with time and experience. I think I'm going to have a fine loaf when I'm done. From Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Continue to honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary the rest of this month of June by praying and watching the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Levers, producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you Tuesday on the next edition of Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.